Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going right into a report by CBN News about how it's entitled, I'd Rather Die Seeking Hope. And we first want to talk about this reality that I understand running from trouble and pain and the immigrants that have come to America have came for hope, but also coming from oppression and all. But also after this, we're going to talk about, but there's also something else coming over the border. Just because the water is water, it could have something in the water that can kill you.
Yeah.
It can kill you. And, but this is our heart too. We want to be able to see, you know, God's called us to the nations. Hey, the nations come to us. We got a chance to win them. Many of them are getting saved based on what I understand as well. But take a look at this to get a better understanding of who the people are that are coming over the borders. This is, Maria. She's actually was a refugee herself, and her family came over, and they came over the right way and got their passports and did everything. Mm-hmm. But listen, this is a great perspective to figure out, you know, begin to get a perspective of what's going on our borders.
One of our latest CBN News focus stories is Heather Sells' report from a couple of towns on the border between Texas and Mexico. It's a closer look at the crisis with the number of child immigrants crossing illegally, the complexity of the issue facing America, and the reality facing these children, their families, and the people trying to help care for them. If you missed it on the 700 Club, you can find it on our website. Heather, along with producer Myra Alejandra, spoke with many people on both sides of the issue. Myra is bilingual and interpreted for Heather, and she also reported for our Spanish program, Mundo Cristiano. And she joins us now to talk more about the story and her experience covering it. Welcome, Myra.
Thanks, Mark.
Now, you did travel to the border towns of McAllen, Texas, and also Reynosa, Mexico, where this is more than just a political crisis for those involved. We've seen the images, a lot going on down there. What kinds of things did you learn about the immigrant surge that you did not expect to find?
One of the things, Mark, is that, first of all, not everybody's Spain smugglers. To bring them in, a lot of people are just literally making the trip on their own from Honduras, Nicaragua, wherever it may be. The other thing is this general idea that people have that they're coming to this country because they think that they have this guaranteed help or that they're going to live off welfare. And speaking with a lot of them, it was interesting to know and understand that they came here not knowing what's next. They just thought, you know, I don't have a future in my country. And the way somebody put it was a lot of these people would much rather die trying to seek hope than to die in their country with no hope. So that was a little bit of a shocker for me.
Yeah, I would say so. Well, as we mentioned, you conducted a number of interviews in Spanish with immigrants. And what kind of stories did you hear, and what were some of the common themes?
Two common themes are definitely violence. People are trying to flee violence in their countries. But the other thing is the lack of opportunity. You see moms who are risking their lives, literally. And I'm not saying it's okay what they're doing, but they know the risks that they're running. But when you ask them, why would you do that? Why would you risk your life? Why would you risk the life of your children? They say, to try and offer them a better future. And it speaks volumes of what's happening on the other side of the border, because we're not talking about just Mexico. A lot of people don't understand that the Mexican immigrants get turned right away. But it's the people from Central America mainly that are kind of like in this limbo, but they're saying we're doing anything for the sake of offering a future to our children.
What are some other reasons that the immigrants are giving for coming here? Did you hear anything else?
Yes, there was one story that was very touching, and it's kind of where you're like, what he did is illegal, but also when you see no hope for your children. There was this mother, Patricia. She came with her son because he has a health issue and there is no medicine for that in Honduras. She heard that the U.S. had it. She tried to have family members ship it to her, but it couldn't be done because of the kind of medicine. And then we're running into healthcare issues, and obviously you don't want to send something illegally. So she had a child that died from that back in Honduras when the baby was like 18 months old. This other baby that she brought with her, he's 3 years old, and she said, I mean, my hope is to come and hopefully get medical help for my child. And she's like, if I can get a job, whatever I can do, I just want to make sure that this child doesn't die. We had that. We had education, but mainly we, back in Mexico, we interviewed a kid Brian, and that was one of the stories that literally broke my heart, and I started processing after I came back, and it's this kid who's 14 when he left, now he's 15, he's lost track of time. When I asked him, when's your birthday, he said, well, let's just say I'm 15 because I lost track of time. And I was like, why would you leave your country? And he said, I want to give my mom a better future. I want to be able to buy her a house and contribute and help her and be able to go to school. There is no future in my country.
Wow. Well, and some of the kids are even younger than 15. That just blows my mind as a parent that why they would let unaccompanied minors travel this dangerous distance and go into a country they're not familiar with. I mean, the chances of these kids ending up in gangs over here could be just as likely as in their home country.
And that's another interesting issue. I think that one of the beautiful things of actually going, when you're here, always just watching, you don't really get to hear the one-on-one stories.
Yeah.
One of the things that we learned is that one of the main reasons these children are coming is not because they're just being sent here by their parents. A lot of them already have parents here.
Okay.
So one of the top reasons they're coming is for family reunification. Now, second, there are very few that are actually coming completely on their own. And it also depends on how we define on their own. Parents are paying smugglers. When we were talking about like 12 years and younger, smugglers are bringing them in. And if you ask their parents, they're like, no, but I didn't send them alone. You know, there was a grown-up in charge of them. There are very few who are actually coming completely on their own, and it's a completely different process. We didn't have access to these children because of the legal process that's going on right now.
Sure.
The ones that we spoke to are still in Mexico waiting to cross. So a lot of, we've also heard, you know, people saying here, you know, these parents don't have a heart, they're sending their children on their own. And you know what? It is a huge risk that the parents are taking in sending their children with a stranger, but a lot of them are sending them for them because they want to see them again.
Interesting. All right. Well, even the Christian community is divided over the issue, and some say the illegal immigrants, especially the Christian ones, should not break the law. What's your take on the debate that's even going on among believers?
It's a really, really tough one. As I said, being there, being an immigrant, as a matter of fact, being a refugee in this nation, I have the blessing of saying I'm an American citizen. I hold that beautiful blue passport. Mm-hmm. But just a few weeks ago, I found my refugee passport. And I think, what are the sacrifices that a parent makes? And I mean, luckily, I can say we came the right way. And when I think about it, it's hard because there's the compassion issue. And we have to say there is also a God of justice. And when you think about the price that they have already paid, the ones that have died, I don't think that as Christians we're in a position to judge. Mm-hmm. I think that as Christians we look at Jesus, how he has treated us. We look at the Bible and he says, you have sinned. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to give you hope. Whether that hope is here in the U.S. or back in your country, I think that our responsibility as Christians is what we're seeing along the border, is a church that is responding, that is serving them, that is feeding them while the legal system decides what's going to happen. And a church that prays, because the system is a mess, it's a complete mess. But we could sit here as Christians and judge, criticize, or actually be the hands and feet of Jesus and pray to God for wisdom.
And it seems like a lot of the churches are doing that. I know I've heard that thousands of kids are coming to Christ. So there's a revival, so to speak, down there among these young people. That's definitely a good thing.
Yes,
yes, more souls in the kingdom. Well, how does covering a story like this impact you, first of all, as a news producer and then as a person?
As a news producer, it definitely puts perspective into any story that you're going to cover. We don't have the chance to travel to every part of the world, but it really lets you know that there's another side to the story, that when we get the wires, it's not the same as to hearing it from these people. It doesn't change my mind about the fact that this is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
That, as a U.S. citizen, I think we need to protect the border. But is protecting the border a matter of a physical barrier, or is it a matter of what are the policies that as a nation we have with all these other nations? Instead of just investing in economic treaties, should we be pressuring these nations to change their system, to help their own people? As a news producer, it also like opened my mind to a whole bunch of other issues that need to be examined as we're looking for the system to be fixed. As a Christian, as a person, it broke my heart on many levels. And I can tell you that I came back and it was just like, I felt broken because it's this dilemma of God, how do you look at them? How do you feel when you see as a mother the pain that they're going through? But also as a father and as a righteous God, you know that they're breaking the law. Mm-hmm. But God is a compassionate God, and he looks way beyond what we see, and he sees the intentions. So I think that I came back very conflicted, but I definitely came back with the sense of we need to be careful how we address this issue. And if as Christians, we want God to reign in this nation, and if as Christians, we want his policies, then before we open our mouths, we definitely need to pray for that compassion. And I believe that we need to, as many other people have said it, we need to find a way to establish a system that is compassionate, but that also enforces the law. Right. And that helps the people that are already here and, you know, establishes just the system is a mess. And yeah. I can tell you, yeah. I don't think I came back with, like, there's a solution for this. But just with a heart for praying, also for wisdom, for Border Patrol, you can tell that everybody there is overwhelmed.
Sure. They're drained. Yeah, definitely a lot of prayer needs to go up for our leaders, for everyone involved.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time. Thanks for your transparency.
Thanks,
Mike. Myra Alejandra, our news producer, who just got back from the Texas-Mexico border. Thanks, Myra.
Thanks, Mark.
I mean, she did such an excellent job of explaining in detail. Couldn't say it any better than that, because that's her story. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.